Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc. Tennessee takes another loss, and now the Vols are 6-6 in their last 12 games after going through the non-conference season with an undefeated record. Tennessee has now fallen to 16-7. Auburn improves to 12-13, a team that really didn't have a lot of motivation coming into this game. They're self-imposed a postseason ban. They did not have Sharif Cooper. They did not have Justin Powell. And they find a way to beat Tennessee 77-72. They get to the free throw line 37 times to Tennessee's 10. And the Volunteers just unable to make up the difference. Tennessee shot 41% from the field, 39% from three, but took a lot of three-pointers, did not get enough of an inside presence. Eve Pons, a double-digit scoring day. He actually had a decent day, 32 minutes, 10 points, 8 rebounds. But John Fulkerson, again, 19 minutes, just 4 points, and Tennessee giving up 16 offensive boards. They lost the rebounding battle overall. And Tennessee, for the most part, decided to go with this smaller lineup with Santiago Vescovi and Josiah Jordan-James playing 26 and 19 minutes off the bench, respectively. And then you've got Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, Victor Bailey Jr. all playing 28 minutes or more. So Tennessee working with this smaller lineup in these last couple of games because it's not getting the production out of John Fulkerson, and it couldn't make up for that with everything that Auburn was able to present from a length standpoint, especially with JT Thor there in the middle. He had 10 points. All five of Auburn's starters scored in double digits. Alan Flanagan was huge with 23 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. And for Tennessee, it just was not able to match that same kind of production. You had another big day from the freshman. You had Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer with 23 and 20, and then Eve Pons with 10, nobody else scoring in double figures. You did have Victor Bailey Jr. with 9. He went 3-for-8, all of his shots from three-point range. So not quite the hot shooting that we've seen from him lately. But overall, 3-for-8, you'll take that in most days from your fourth leading scorer in an SEC game. But Tennessee has been needing John Fulkerson, and it hasn't been able to get that production out of him. And so that's been frustrating. It's been unfortunate, but for Tennessee, you really just kind of wonder what's going on there and why that's been the case with Fulkerson and his lack of production, where it just hasn't been there. Just 4 shots on the day for him, and it's been puzzling considering what he did last year. But now Fulkerson has been held to 4 points or fewer in 6 of his last 7 games, with the outlier being the South Carolina game, where that's not a good South Carolina team. That's a shorthanded South Carolina team. And so I don't have the answer as to why Fulkerson has not been producing as much. And the discussion on Sports 180 throughout the past week, which you can hear every weekday from 12 to 3 on The Sports Animal, was maybe Olivier Kumwa should be eating into some of Fulkerson's minutes. Maybe he should be getting more opportunities. Well, that's not where they're putting the minutes either. Kumwa with just 4 minutes in Saturday's loss to Auburn. And so now Tennessee takes another loss. And that's really unfortunate because it was a big opportunity for Tennessee to potentially move back in to a top 4 spot. Now, Tennessee could still hypothetically do that thanks to Arkansas beating LSU, but Tennessee gets Florida on Sunday to close out the regular season. Florida beat Kentucky 71-67 at Rupp. So the way this is looking right now, Alabama's 14-2, Arkansas is 11-4, Florida's 9-5, LSU is 9-6, Tennessee is 9-7. So Tennessee is 5 games back of Alabama, LSU is 4.5. So the way that this could all work out, depending on how it all shakes out, and LSU does not have it's not 2 guaranteed wins. They get LSU at home on Tuesday, but they have to go to Missouri on Saturday. So that could play into Tennessee's favor if LSU were to drop a game here. And if Tennessee were to beat Florida, then, maybe there's an opportunity there that Tennessee could sneak back into the top 4. But with the way that Tennessee has played lately, and Florida also has to host Missouri on Wednesday. So nothing is guaranteed at this point in time, but man, you're really concerned if you're Tennessee about really the overall picture. And I think when you look at it, Tennessee is flat out, it's just one of the most disappointing teams in college basketball. And that's unfortunate, but I think that's the reality of the situation when you look at what Tennessee has done over the course of this season. And so it's unfortunate. I hate it. But that's where Tennessee's at right now, where I think it's one of the most overrated teams in college basketball. And I wouldn't say nearly to the degree of what Florida was last year when they were ranked in the top six and ended up really being a borderline 8 or 9 seed. I mean, Tennessee's still a good team because of its defense. It has offensive potential, but it's been more the exception rather than the rule when this team has performances like it did against South Carolina and full on. It's just not a great offensive team. John Fulkerson, it's been an unfortunate letdown for him this season. And Victor Bailey Jr., while he has played well in his last 3 or 4 games, really hasn't delivered to the level that you would have hoped. And Tennessee has been relying way too much on Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. And when you've got both those guys scoring 20 plus points, and you still can't get a win against an Auburn team that had a less than 500 record coming into this ball game on Saturday. So Tennessee falls to 16-7 overall. What does that mean for Tennessee going into the NCAA tournament? Well, even after the games on Saturday, Tennessee is still projected as a 5 seed. Now, Bracket Matrix has Tennessee as the 3rd/5th seed. The difference is that the gap between Tennessee being a 5 seed and a 4 seed is greater than it was going into the weekend. Virginia and USC are ahead of Tennessee on that 5 line, and both of those teams have suffered losses recently. So that's part of it, is that the teams that Tennessee is sharing that 5 seed line with, those teams are not exactly taking care of business either. And then you go to that 4 seed line, and you have Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Creighton that have all been taking care of business lately. So that really the gap is just getting farther and farther. Now behind Tennessee on the 6 seed line, you have Texas Tech, which just scored a big win over Texas, Wisconsin, which has been playing pretty good basketball lately. Now they did just lose to Illinois, which that's a bad loss for Wisconsin. Illinois doesn't have Io Desunmu. You're playing in Madison. Wisconsin needs to win that basketball game. Oklahoma State's been hot lately. And then you have Clemson with the last as being the last team on that 6 seed line. And that's really a matter of Clemson has kind of just fallen off the radar a little bit. And then you have Colorado, Missouri, BYU, and Florida on the 7 seed line. So that's part of it, is that is Tennessee really deserving of a 5 seed? No, but I think college basketball this year is a little bit more top heavy, where you've got some great teams towards the top and everybody else is kind of falling back a bit. So now that doesn't mean that Tennessee couldn't be susceptible to a 5-12 or 6-11 matchup. You look at some of these teams that are on that 12 line right now, and you've got Colorado State, Seton Hall, Michigan State, which is trying to work its way back in, Wichita State, Western Kentucky, and Toledo. Now, Michigan State lost to Maryland on Sunday. So that, we'll see where the bracket matrix resets when Monday's rankings come back out. And then Seton Hall, of course, a really tough team with Sandro Mumukalashvili. Western Kentucky, which beat Arkansas back during the non-conference schedule. Wichita State, which has really turned its season around. Colorado State, a tough team out of a really competitive Mountain West. You look at the Mountain West, San Diego State is the top dog in that conference. Then you've got Boise State right up there with them. And you can't forget about Utah State either, which was a bubble team going into the weekend. So that's a tough mid-major conference. And so those are teams that you definitely wouldn't want to sleep on. And then you look at the 11 seeds, Boise State, UConn, Drake, Xavier. So just teams that you can't take for granted. And for Tennessee being in that 5 seed right now, will it stay there? I don't think it will. And quite honestly, it's hard to imagine this team beating Florida on Sunday with the way that it's played over its last 3 games. I just don't feel confident about what Tennessee does offensively. After the win over South Carolina, we've seen Tennessee struggle offensively against Kentucky, not look great against Vanderbilt despite the win, and then struggle rebounding and getting to the free throw line against Auburn. So there's a lack of aggression there, and Tennessee allowed Auburn to bully it inside and constantly get to the free throw line, and Tennessee was unable to defend against it. So Auburn won the game in terms of foul shots, and that's not typically how a Rick Barnes team is going to lose basketball games. So for Tennessee, it's just frustrating. It's just very, very frustrating with what we've seen from this team over the last couple of weeks. And a team that had all this potential, and we thought, okay, eventually Tennessee's got to turn it on. Well, it hasn't turned it on. And Tennessee's got to change that against Florida on Sunday. Now, you win that game, you probably keep yourself on that 5 seed line, worst case scenario. Maybe you sneak into a top four seed in the SEC tournament. If you can get to the semifinals and get a shot at Alabama or Arkansas to have one last chance to really bolster your resume, okay, maybe we can start having these conversations. But with what we've seen from the last couple of weeks from Tennessee, it's just hard to see that happening at this point in time. So Tennessee falls to Auburn 77-72. Tennessee has now lost two of its last three games. Those two losses coming against teams with a sub 500 record. And now it faces Florida on Sunday on Senior Day to close out the season. Remember, Senior Day did not go well for Tennessee last year as it lost to Auburn. That's also the sixth game in a row that Auburn has won against Tennessee. So Bruce Pearl having some success against his former school. And for Tennessee, it now has to reset again quickly, find some consistency, and get things rolling on offense. What about the rest of the SEC? What about the rest of college basketball? There was a big game on Sunday, a couple of big scores on Sunday, but there was a highly anticipated top 10 matchup. We'll recap that coming up later in the podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. You're listening to the Behind the Arc podcast. So looking around the rest of the SEC, South Carolina beat Georgia 91-70. Arkansas beat LSU 83-75. The Tigers led at halftime. The Hogs came back and won another game at Bud Walton Arena. That's the ninth straight SEC win for the Razorbacks. They're going to lock up the two seed in the SEC tournament. You had Florida beating Kentucky at Rupp Arena 71-67. That's a big win for Florida when you consider how Kentucky has played recently. And they've been competitive in a lot of games, so it's still a team that you need to put away late. That was a game where it looked like Kentucky was going to start to run away with it. They led by 10 midway through the first half. Florida battled back. It was back and forth in the second half, really throughout the final 20 minutes of the game. Trey Mann scored 21 points for Florida. Davion Mintz had 21 for Kentucky. And Florida finds a way to split the series against the Wildcats. Alabama needed to hold off Mississippi State 64-59. Javon Quinterly with 19 points. DJ Stewart had 15 for Mississippi State as the Bulldogs kind of made a run there towards the end and made it interesting in a game that Alabama probably just overlooked the Bulldogs. And then this is the head-scratching one, and for those that weren't aware, Missouri and Texas A&M, yet that game was postponed. I think that's it for Texas A&M this year, just 15 games this season. They've been dealing with COVID issues all throughout the year, so hopefully Buzz Williams will be able to hit the reset button and get his team rolling for next year, because I do think he can have success there at some point in the future. The one that's the most head-scratching, Vanderbilt, we talked about them against Tennessee, how they didn't have Dylan Dessau. They didn't have Scottie Pippen Jr. They didn't have those guys on Saturday either against Ole Miss. The Commodores beat the Rebels 75-70. That's it for Ole Miss. They were a bubble team going into the weekend. They've just shot themselves in the foot as far as their tournament hopes were concerned. Just an absolutely terrible performance by Ole Miss. Just 30% from three-point range. Vanderbilt shot 53% from the field, made 11 three-pointers. And just you can't have that if you're Kermit Davis's team, where you're going in, you're kind of being talked about as being in the first four out or the next four out, and maybe you can play your way in. Not like that. Not with a loss to Vanderbilt that late in the season when Vanderbilt doesn't have two of its starters. Just absolutely devastating loss for Kermit Davis's team. And so the Rebels, barring a Cinderella run in the SEC tournament, they are not going to the NCAA tournament whatsoever. Right now, Jerry Palm, he updated his bracketology Sunday morning. Last four in, Georgia Tech, Boise State, VCU, Drake, first four out, St. Louis, Duke, Seton Hall, and Stanford. He has Michigan State in the field. We'll talk more about some of these notable teams that are on the bubble later on in the podcast, but kind of looking at what he's expecting to see out of the SEC, and Joe Lenardi of ESPN has not updated his bracketology since Sunday's games have begun and since the conclusion of Saturday's games, but he's actually got Tennessee as a 7 seed right now. So Tennessee would be in a 7-10 matchup against Wichita State. He has Missouri as a 6 seed. Looking around the rest of the bracket, he's got Florida as a 6. So some notable SEC teams that you would kind of expect to see in some different places on other brackets. Joe Lenardi thinking a little bit differently here, as he's got Arkansas as a 3 seed, LSU as a 10 seed, and then Alabama as a 2 seed. So Tennessee would actually be seeded behind Alabama, Arkansas, Missouri, Florida, a handful of other SEC teams. And so really goes to show just how far Tennessee has fallen from a bracket standpoint. Again, bracket matrix suggesting that Tennessee will be a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. We'll see if that changes on Monday when more of the rankings are updated and they come out. But again, these are the seedings based on Sunday morning. So after the conclusion of Saturday's games for Jerry Palm of CBS Sports, and just a really unfortunate way that, Tennessee has just kind of fallen. But you're seeing the biggest losers of the weekend. I think Tennessee just for that loss, and then LSU from having an opportunity to really lock up a top four seed in the SEC tournament. I think they're still likely going to do that based on the way the schedule lays out this week. And then Ole Miss for losing to Vanderbilt and essentially ending its NCAA tournament hopes. So that's where the SEC was in the past weekend. We got a lot of action coming up over the next week. On Tuesday, Arkansas is out South Carolina. Alabama hosts Auburn. LSU gets Vanderbilt. Kentucky is at Ole Miss. On Wednesday, Missouri is at Florida. Texas A&M is scheduled to play Mississippi State. We'll see what actually happens there. And then the Aggies are scheduled to face Arkansas on Saturday. Vanderbilt takes on Ole Miss again. Mississippi State's at Auburn. LSU's at Missouri. Kentucky hosts South Carolina. Alabama is at Georgia. And then the lone SEC game on Sunday is Tennessee hosting Florida. That is scheduled for 12 noon on Sunday. So coverage will begin at 11:30 on our station, 99.1 The Sports Animal. And you can hear Bob Kessling and Burt Bordelkamp's call of the game from Thompson Bowling Arena for Senior Day as the Vols host the Gators, trying to get revenge on Florida after losing by 26 down in Gainesville earlier in the season. What about outside the SEC? What's happening around the rest of the country? We'll discuss that next to wrap up today's edition of the Behind the Arc podcast. So what happened around the rest of the country over the weekend? Well, third-ranked Michigan beat Indiana on Saturday, 73-57, and Indiana being a bubble team in a lot of areas, I believe Bracket Matrix actually had them as a 12 seed going into the weekend, and that changed after losing to Michigan by 16. And that's the thing about playing in the Big Ten, is you have so many opportunities to boost your schedule because you play in the Big Ten. The bad news is you have to play against Big Ten teams to get those wins. Texas Tech sweeps Texas with a 68-59 win. Big win for Chris Beard's team after they've had some losses recently. They had not been playing well. And so for Texas Tech to get that win, I thought was really important for them. Illinois beating Wisconsin on the road without Ayo Dosunmu. That is wildly impressive. I thought that was great basketball. Kofi Coburn stepped up in a big way for Illinois. And that's just huge for Brad Underwood's team. Coburn with 19 points. And Illinois played solid defense, and it helps when you get 17 points from Curbelo off the bench. Wisconsin, just 32% from three-point range. They took 31 three-pointers, and Wisconsin, I've kind of looked at them as being a very stable team, but they've taken some bad losses recently where the offense just hasn't been there, and it's kind of been a letdown for them in some of these higher-scoring games. We mentioned Arkansas beating LSU. Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma in overtime, 94-90. So Oklahoma State with a top 10 win. It's a frustrating loss for the Sooners, but Oklahoma State's been hot. And if this postseason ban ends up not getting upheld, we're going to see Cade Cunningham in the NCAA tournament. He scored 40 points in this game, and with it being this late in the season through the appeals process and everything, it's looking more and more like the Cowboys are going to the NCAA tournament, especially after that monster overtime win for the Bedlam game. West Virginia took care of business against Kansas State, 65-43. North Carolina upset Florida State, 78-70. So Walker Kessler with 20 points for the Tar Heels. North Carolina is now 15-8. And that was a bad loss they took to Marquette, but they've gotten wins over Louisville and Florida State lately, and that kind of makes up for it. Now, that I would say they still have some work to do, and you can't take any more bad losses, but that's a big bounce back win to stun Florida State after losing to Marquette the way that they did. And Marquette, what a weird team this season. Marquette has wins over North Carolina, Wisconsin, and Creighton, and is not going to the NCAA tournament. So just a weird season out of the Big East, where we haven't seen the depth there beyond, I would say really beyond Villanova and Creighton. You just haven't seen the depth in that conference as much as what we're used to. And then Marquette actually turned around and lost to UConn on Saturday by 18 points. So Marquette 6-11 in Big East play, 11-13 overall, but they've got three really impressive wins over power conference teams, including within their own conference. Virginia Tech beat Wake Forest 84-46. San Diego State beat Boise State 62-58. Xavier upset Creighton 77-69. Loyola Chicago needed overtime to beat Southern Illinois 65-58. Kansas beat Baylor by 13. So Baylor is no longer undefeated. And again, Baylor looking at, you know, a 3-week layoff. It struggled against Iowa State. It clearly just doesn't have its legs back under it yet. And I think Baylor's going to be okay by the time we get to the tournament. But this stretch here is just going to be, I think, frustrating for the Bears. And you look ahead and you think, okay, so what does this mean for Baylor moving forward? Well, look, they're 18-1. They're going to be a one seed. They only have a game and a half lead in the Big 12 regular season title. But I would also say when you look ahead at what Baylor has to close out the regular season, it gets West Virginia on Tuesday. That game is massive, and then it has to play Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. So I think Baylor will take care of business and hang on to the number one seed there, but these last three games over the next week are going to make it really interesting. USC takes another loss after losing to Colorado. They lose to Utah by 10 on Saturday. That's a terrible loss for the Trojans, and so now you're looking at a potential change of the guard there with UCLA being on a run, Colorado playing well lately. And so now USC, which was that ranked team in the Pac-12 and was going 17-3. Well, now they've lost a couple games here in the last couple of weeks. Gonzaga took care of Loyola Marymount 86-69. Ranked teams in action on Sunday. Houston whipped South Florida 98-52. Villanova loses to Butler 61-73. Butler's not a good team this year. And I'm a fan of Lavelle Jordan. I thought Butler was a great team last season. They were tough. And at one point, they looked like they were going to be a number one seed. And then the season gets canceled and Butler loses some Big East games. But Butler's 9-13. And they've got wins over Creighton and Villanova. And I know that Creighton didn't have Marcus Zagorowski then. But my gosh, this is terrible from Villanova. 2-27 from three-point range. And just unable to slow down Butler's offense. Butler shot 50% from the field. That's just rough. And then Iowa picks up a really impressive win. They go on the road and beat Ohio State 73-57 in Columbus. Luka Garza with a big first half as they bounced back from a loss earlier in the week. He had 24 points after Iowa dropped that game to Michigan in one-sided fashion. They beat Wisconsin a couple weeks ago, crushed Michigan State, but this was a nice statement win to go into the month of March. They get to close out the season against Nebraska and Wisconsin, so a chance for Iowa to really find itself towards the top of the Big Ten standings. They should lock up the three seed there, and that loss for Ohio State, what that means, it knocks them down to fifth. So right now, Ohio State and Purdue are both 3.5 games back of Michigan atop the leaderboard. So when it comes to top four seeds, Illinois faces Ohio State on Saturday, and that's going to end the regular season for the Buckeyes. This can make things really interesting in the Big Ten, especially if the Buckeyes drop this game, and Illinois coming off a really impressive performance over the weekend against Wisconsin without Ayo Dosunmu in the lineup. So Iowa right now starting to find its rhythm, and after looking a little bit inconsistent on defense, I thought Iowa in a big way made a statement by being able to stop EJ Liddell and that Ohio State Buckeyes offense. And so kind of looking at some of the bracket projections in the bracket matrix, Iowa was at a three seed going into Sunday's games. After that win on Sunday afternoon, I would expect Iowa to potentially move up to a two seed, especially with Villanova losing on Sunday. So right now, the two seed line, Illinois, Alabama, Villanova, West Virginia. The three seed line, Iowa and Houston, who both won, Florida State, which lost, and then Kansas. So I would expect Iowa to be up on that two seed line, according to Bracket Matrix, by the time we get midway through the week, especially with Villanova just taking a bad loss to a bad Butler team. Right now, the one seed's staying the same. Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, Ohio State. That might change a little bit too, because the gap between Ohio State and Illinois is not that big. So I wonder, does Illinois jump Ohio State after the Buckeyes took their second loss in the last 2 weeks and Illinois making a big statement by beating Wisconsin on the road? We'll see. I still feel like Ohio State's done enough from a resume standpoint that it's shown why it's one of the top four teams in college basketball. And obviously the top three teams in the country, I think, are undisputed at this point. Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan. I know Baylor lost coming off this layoff. And what it's put together this year, when Baylor's healthy and at full strength, if it gets back to that point before the tournament begins, you're going to want to be paying attention to the Bears, especially with the Big 12, what Baylor has to do this week playing some of the teams that it does. West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech. A lot of big matchups coming up in the Big 12 and the Big 10 to close out the regular season. March is going to get chaotic before the conference tournaments even start. So looking ahead at the week, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State play again on Monday night at 9 o'clock. Virginia gets Miami at 6. On Tuesday, you've got the Baylor-West Virginia matchup, Illinois and Michigan, Alabama at Auburn, Texas is at Iowa State, which normally I wouldn't really highlight, but we saw what Iowa State nearly did to Baylor. Wisconsin is at Purdue, so in terms of seeding purposes in the Big Ten, that's going to be a monster matchup. Wednesday night, you have Missouri-Florida, Creighton's at Villanova, that one is going to be big in the Big East. Stanford is at USC. Stanford, a bubble team, it could really help its tournament case if it can go on the road and beat the Trojans on Wednesday night. Then Thursday, Texas and Oklahoma, Michigan State and Michigan. Michigan State, a team that really needs to boost itself because the Spartans lost to Maryland on Sunday. So when you're looking at Michigan State, it's a team that's trying to still play its way in after Michigan State beat Illinois and Ohio State last week and beat Indiana the week before. And so now in the month of March, right now, Michigan State is scheduled to play Indiana on Tuesday. It's scheduled to play Michigan on Thursday and then scheduled to play Michigan again on Sunday. So depending on how this all shapes out, Sparty, if it can win two of three this week, it might be able to play its way back in to the tournament field despite that loss to Maryland earlier on Sunday. And then on Friday, you've got Loyola Chicago. They'll be in their Missouri Valley Conference Tournament quarterfinal on Saturday. A lot of big matchups outside the SEC. West Virginia hosts Oklahoma State. Florida State has to go to Notre Dame. You just don't want to take a loss there if you're Richard Hamilton's team. Virginia Tech's at NC State. Villanova's at Providence. Illinois and Ohio State on Saturday. Monster game in the Big Ten. Virginia's at Louisville. Can the Cardinals still play their way back in? And then USC and UCLA face off in a game that could decide some big-time seeding in the Pac-12. And then on Sunday, along with Tennessee and Florida at noon, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin and Iowa, Texas Tech and Baylor. Texas is at TCU, a scrappy defensive team that could try to throw a wrench into Texas trying to climb up the Big 12 leaderboard. And then Houston and Memphis in the American Athletic Conference, the finale there for the regular season. But Tennessee will host Florida at noon on Sunday, March 7th. Again, coverage will start at 11:30 on The Sports Animal. The Vol Network will take over our airwaves, and you can hear Bob Kessling and Burt Bertelkamp call the game on The Sports Animal on the Vol Network. Thank you so much for listening to the Behind the Arc podcast. March is essentially here as I'm recording this podcast on Sunday night, February 28th. But by the time you're listening to it, chances are it's going to be March. So enjoy the madness because the tournament is likely coming back. And after missing it last season, boy, did we need it. So it's going to be fun watching college basketball. We'll see what Tennessee can do throughout the course of the week as they host Florida on Sunday, and hopefully Tennessee can get its offense rolling again, and we've got some more positive stuff to talk about surrounding the Volunteers going into postseason play. I'm Joel Silverberg. If you're listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating and review, and tell a college basketball fan you know about the BTA podcast. Thank you again for listening. It's the Behind the Arc podcast on the Sports Animal.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.